out of God today. Amen. Yeah. Wow. Not many are glad. I said, how many is glad to be a child of God today? Amen. That's better. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you have your Bibles with you. This morning, I want you to go to the New Testament book of Colossians. The New Testament book of Colossians, chapter number 1. If you've been here with us the past 3 weeks, you know that we've been talking about the doctrine of salvation. But for this week, we're going to take a little bit of a break from that, because all week I just found the same thing over and over, and I just felt like this is what God would have for us today. So we're going to talk about this topic, the wisdom to walk in. And you can see there on the board, we also have another text up there. It's Proverbs chapter number 2. We're actually going to look at that at the end of the sermon. So if you want to find that and flip to that after we read the Colossians passage, that's a lot to say, the Colossians passage, we're going to read Proverbs 2 at the end. But if you're in Colossians 1, we're going to read there this morning. Before we read that, there was a pastor who had just been hired on at the new church. The first week he stood up to deliver the message and he preached a powerful sermon. The whole congregation was stirred. The whole congregation was nearly on the altar at the end of the sermon. Well, next week the whole crowd came to church and they were so excited for the message that he was going to deliver again. Well, the pastor got up, he flipped to the exact same passage, preached the exact same message. And the head deacon looked and he said, boy, that's kind of weird. But they said, you know, since he's new, we're going to give him some patience. Well, next Sunday came, his third Sunday, opened up to the same passage, preached the exact same words. And the deacons got together and said, this can't happen again. So they got together, they called a meeting with the pastor, and the deacon looks at the pastor and he says, pastor, do you not have any more messages to preach? He says, oh yes, I've got many more messages to preach. The deacon says, well, why aren't you preaching them? The pastor said, because you hadn't practiced this one yet. Once you start doing this one, I'll move on to the next one. The pastor wanted to emphasize obedience. And today, that's what we're going to talk about. Today, the obedience or the wisdom that we need to walk in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, Paul is stating this prayer that he is going to pray for this church in Colossae. And it goes like this, verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Let the church say amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask that You'd use it to not only give us knowledge, God, but to give us wisdom so that we might walk in Your Word this week, so that we might please You with our lives. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. We didn't read the Proverbs chapter 2 passage, but there are three words that are very similar and are used a lot in these two passages. And there are three words here that once you see them in the Bible, you're going to see them a whole lot more every time you read the Bible. And it's these words found in verse 9. It says, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge. There's the first word, knowledge. That word is found all throughout the Bible, knowledge. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom. There's a second word you need to take note of. And all spiritual understanding. So in verse 9, you've got the words knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And in our Proverbs chapter 2 passage, we'll see a little bit later, that word is repeated very often. As most of you know, that's what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about wisdom. It's about knowledge. It's about gaining wisdom for your life. We know that King Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and King Solomon was a man who was blessed with wisdom from Almighty God. King Solomon writes the Proverbs to his son. And he's writing the Proverbs because his son needs wisdom in order to obey God in this life. And the way we look at Proverbs from our standpoint is that Solomon, of course, is writing to his son. A father writing to his son about the wisdom he needs to live. And the way we can look at that is our Heavenly Father is writing to us, His children, about the wisdom that you and I need in our life to live as well. And to be honest with you, it's a very wise thing to read the book of Proverbs every day. If I'm not mistaken, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, one chapter for each day of the month. For each day. But what the book of Proverbs does, it helps us to attain the wisdom and knowledge that we need to live. But there's two words that I want to focus on as we get into this. It's the word knowledge and the word wisdom. Number one, the word knowledge very simply means information. That's all knowledge is. It is information. It's facts, information, or being familiar with something. Very simply, knowledge means knowing something, right? And this is the main reason you probably send your kids to school. A lot of you send your kids to school to get them out of your hair. But the main reason you send your kids to school is so that they might gain knowledge, they might gain information. Of course, you send them to preschool, they learn about their colors, they learn about the animals, they learn about numbers, all these things. Send them to elementary school, math, history, English, whatever. But then they get to high school and they have to learn the dreaded calculus and algebra and all that mess that, by the way, most of you ain't going to need the rest of your life. Don't tell that to your teacher, they'll kick you out. Anyway, the reason you send them to school is to receive more of that word called knowledge. As you go to college, you want to receive the knowledge of that thing you're going to major in and what you're going to be doing the rest of your life. Now, as we apply this to the Bible in verse number 9, Paul says, I desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Paul says, my prayer for you, church, is that you would know, that you would acquire the information about God's will for your life. And this morning, if you have children or if you even have grandchildren, this is, in my opinion, the greatest prayer that you can pray for them, verse 9. Father, I pray that my children would know what your will is for their life. I pray that my grandchildren would know what your will is for their life. Paul says, church, I want you to know what God's will is. And you see, as we send our kids to school, that's what happens. They grow in knowledge. They grow in information. They know more in 10th grade than they did in 2nd grade. And what Paul wants us to know this morning is the same thing needs to be happening in our Christian life. As we grow up in the Lord, the longer we've been saved, the more we ought to know about the Lord. The more we ought to know about what He's done, but most importantly, the more we ought to know about what He wants us to do in our lives. And I want you to know that's one of the top reasons why we come to church. To learn the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point of coming here this morning. Listen, everything that we do is awesome. The singing is awesome. The giving is awesome. The fellowshipping is awesome. The prayer is awesome. But I'm here to tell you this morning. If you take the Word of God out of church, you don't have church. The local New Testament church is to be centered around God's holy Word. 2 Peter 3:18 says you need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that was also Peter's prayer, that you would grow in your information about who God is and about what He wants for you and His will. That's knowledge. But here's the second word that I believe is a little bit more important. It's the word wisdom. If knowledge means information, wisdom means the ability to apply that information. And wisdom is so important. You know, you can be smart and not be wise. Raise your hand. Some of y'all work with them people. If knowledge means information, wisdom means the impact that information has on you. The impact that information has on your life. For instance, You go to school and you learn addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. But let's say you turn 18 and you go get a job and you don't know how to apply that. What was the point in learning it? Let's say you're a basketball player. The coach hands you a sheet about how to shoot a free throw. You know on the piece of paper how to shoot a free throw. Yet when you go out on the court and you have no idea how to apply that information that was on the sheet, what was the point in learning it? And you see, what we're trying to say this morning is wisdom is so important. Because wisdom is the ability to take what you have learned and put it into practice. That's wisdom. Taking the information you've learned and putting it into practice. One man said, wisdom is putting shoes on knowledge. Putting shoes on it so that you might walk in it. And that, church, is what every single one of us needs in the Christian life, is wisdom. We need wisdom. The wisdom to take God's Word and apply it to every single area of our lives. To practice it, to implement it, to obey it, to apply it, whatever you want to say. Paul says, I want you to know the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So Paul says the first step in walking worthy of the Lord, walking in a manner that pleases the Lord, is having knowledge and wisdom. But you see, knowledge does nothing without wisdom. And you see, what we get afraid of is that we come to church all year, we receive a bunch of information from the Bible, and yet that information never makes an impact on the way we live. Because if you're learning all this information and not putting it into practice, what was the point of learning the information? Right? And that's what wisdom does. Knowledge without wisdom is like having a car without tires. It might be pretty, but you can't go out and use it. You see, knowledge is great, but wisdom is the ability to take that knowledge and put it into practice. And you see, every single week that we come to church, our time in God's Word needs to be more than simple information. We need to be asking God how we can apply this information so that it might make an impact on our lives. But I want to show you just two quick things this morning of what happens when we read the Bible, when we hear the Bible, when we study the Bible, and yet we never put it into practice. Here's what happens. Number one, we forget it. We forget the things we've learned. Watch this. This is James chapter number 1, verses 22 through 25. This is what happens when we receive God's Word, but don't put it into practice. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And that word means mirror. He's like a man beholding his face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he is. James uses an illustration. James says, when you hear the Word and don't do the Word and don't practice the Word, it's like this. It's like a man looking at himself in the mirror. He notices what color shirt he has on, what shorts he has on, if he has a hat on, what his hair looks like, what his eyes look like, but then he walks away from the mirror and he has no idea what he just looked at. He forgets it completely. You see, James is saying when we hear, read, or listen to the Word of God and we don't do the Word of God, we forget it altogether. That's what he's saying. Now, let me ask you a question I already know the answer to. How many of you ever read your Bible in the morning, maybe before work, maybe before you went out and started your day? You read it. But by the time lunchtime rolled around, you have no idea what you read that morning. Anybody? I ain't going to ask this question because it's discouraging. How many times y'all get to lunch after Sunday and have no idea what the preacher preached on? Don't answer, because I don't really want to know. But this is what James is saying. He says that's what happens when we just simply hear the word and are not diligent to put it into practice. And listen, when we forget the word, it's not because we have a bad memory. Right? It's not because we just forgot it. It's because we didn't apply it to our walk with the Lord. Think about it. I played baseball. You take softball lessons, baseball lessons, maybe on a Monday afternoon. The coach teaches you how to hit a curveball, right? He's teaching you how to hit a curveball. You stay back, you drive it the other way. That's what he teaches you on Monday. Let's say Tuesday, you don't practice it. Wednesday, you don't practice it. Thursday, you don't practice it. Friday, you don't practice it. Saturday, you don't practice it. You don't even think about it. We come back to practice on Monday, and he says, son, what did we learn on Monday? You know what you're going to say? I don't really remember, coach. And he's going to say, take a lap. Right. Watch this. Let's say he teaches you how to hit a curveball the other way, and on Tuesday you wake up at 6 a.m. and you go out and practice it. Wednesday you get up, you go out and practice it. Thursday you practice it. Friday you practice it. You go to practice on Monday. He says, what we learned last Monday? What you going to say? I learned exactly how to stay back and hit a curveball the other way. And why did you remember it? Because all week you did it. And that's what James is saying. James is saying when we hear the word of God and we do not put it into practice, we will forget it. The old saying goes like this, if you don't use it, and it goes with the knowledge of God's word as well. If you receive all this knowledge yet you don't use it, you'll lose that knowledge. But watch verse 25, that last verse in James 1. He says, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's a synonym for the Bible. Whoso looks into the Bible and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We could all raise our hands this morning and say, we want to be blessed. James says, this is the way to be blessed. Look into the Bible and continue in it. Walk in it and do it. So number one, when we hear the word and forget the word, when we hear the word and do not do the word, we forget the word. Number two, according to Jesus, if we hear the word and do not do the word, we will build weak lives. Most of you know this parable that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter number 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus speaks like this. Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man which built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. But here's the favorite part. And it did not fall. For it was founded upon a rock. Now watch the contrast. Verse 26. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house on the sand. Now that's a fool. You build your house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Here's the contrast here. The contrast isn't a storm. The same wind, the same floods, the same wind blew on both houses. The contrast is what the house was built on. One was on a rock, one was on the sand. The one that built his house on a rock was one that constantly heard the word of God and constantly put it into practice. That was building his house on a strong foundation. But the one who simply came and heard the word, read the word, but didn't put it into practice, he was building his house on nothing. So when the storms of life came, it took him out. And the house fell. You see, spiritual muscles are not built by simply reading the word or listening to the word. Jesus tells us they're built by doing the word. One man said, each time you intentionally obey God's word, you add a brick to your house. It gets stronger every time you obey. How many of you know the storms of life come to all of us? But we don't want to fall at that. It's going to shake us up. It's going to make us fearful. It's going to make us anxious and worrisome. But Jesus says when you build your house upon the rock, it might be all those things, but it ain't going to fall. And that's what we need to build strong lives in the Lord, is to not just hear the Word, but to obey the Word. So here's this, and I'll be done. How do you obey the Word from today? Because if you just came and listened to this and you walk out, we don't obey it. Well, we just did completely contrary to what I preached. Right? So what do we do for today? What now? Number one, the first thing we must do according to Proverbs chapter number 2. I do want you to go there if you do have your Bible. Proverbs chapter number 2. How can we apply the Word for this week? How can we apply the Word that we just heard? Proverbs chapter number 2, verse 1 tells us basically this, that we need to receive the knowledge of God's Word this week. We'll make it applicable to us. You ready? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Solomon says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." That's the first thing he says to do. Receive my word and hide my word in your heart. That's what Psalm 119 tells us to do. Think about this. The first step to having wisdom is knowledge. The first step to wisdom is knowledge. You can't apply something you don't know. Amen? So the first step to applying something to your life is you got to know something to apply. And that's what he says in verse 1. Receive my words. And what God is saying, receive my word. Listen to my word. Hear my word. Receive knowledge this week. Because God's word, by the way, isn't just for the preacher. Somebody say amen. God's word is for the Christian. Y'all were good. God's word is for the Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Good. I was about to preach one more hour. Get Jerry. He said, go ahead. Some of y'all in the back are saying, don't go ahead. We must, in order to apply God's Word, we've got to read God's Word. We've got to be in God's Word, receive God's Word. So that's number one today, how we're going to apply what we preach. Receive God's Word this week. Number two, pray for wisdom. Watch this. Proverbs 2, verse 3. He says, "Yea, if thou cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding." You see those words? Cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice for understanding. It's the same words we found in Colossians. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom. What he's saying is you need to cry for wisdom. Cry for knowledge. Lift up your voice to God for understanding. Listen, I know a big problem today in the church is you say, "I don't read my Bible because I don't understand the Bible." And I understand that. I don't either. There's a lot of it that's hard to comprehend. The question is, when's the last time you went to God and said, "God, can you help me? God, I need wisdom." James says, James 1:5, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." So if you don't have wisdom, he says it's simple. Ask God. Ask God. When's the last time you went to God and with your voice said, "God, I need wisdom today"? When's the last time, right before you read your Bible, you said, "God, give me wisdom on how this applies to me"? Because that's what Solomon tells his son. He says, "Son, receive my words and then pray for knowledge and understanding of those words." To understand them. Luke 24 says, "Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." That's the point of having the Holy Spirit. He gives you understanding on the Bible. And if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. So number one, receive the knowledge of God's Word this week. Number two, pray for wisdom. Number three, be obedient to the truth you've received. Obey the truth you have received. See, here's the thing a lot of people, even me, come up with. We say, "I don't have as much knowledge as this guy. this guy knows way more of the Bible than I do. I'm down here when it's, right? You put John MacArthur up here, he's on a mountain high above everybody in here nearly. We're saying we just don't know as much. But here's the great thing about God. God does not judge us based on how much we know. God judges us based on what we do with what we know. Some people will never know as much as this person. But God's not concerned with that. God's concerned with what do you know and what do you do with what you know. Now, He's going to want you to grow in knowledge. But what do you do with what you know? And that's what we've got to do. With what we know that is God's will for our lives, we obey it. We put it into practice. And we apply it to our lives. And that's what God tells us in verse 4 and 5. If you will seek this wisdom, if you will search for it like hidden treasure, you will find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. You see, wisdom doesn't come from all these different sources. Wisdom comes from one source, the Lord. But He says you got to set yourself up to receive that wisdom. And that means receiving His Word, praying for wisdom, and obeying the truth you've received. Now, I got one more thing and I'm done. Some of y'all might be already looking at me and saying, boy, that was good. But I don't need all that mess. You're saying, this is good. But I don't need this in my life. I'm already too busy. I've got enough going on. I don't really need to receive God's wisdom. I ain't got time to pray for God's wisdom. I ain't got time to think about all this stuff. And you've already decided this week that you know that was good, but we're just going to move on to the next week. You know what that's saying? That's saying you can live without God. Nobody would ever in here say that. Nobody would say, I can go out here and live my life without God. Nobody. But when our actions don't receive His Word, we don't pray for His wisdom, we don't do these things, you know what we're saying? God, I can do this without You. That's what we're saying. Is we don't need wisdom to live a godly life. We don't need wisdom to live the way God wants us to live in His will. We don't need this. We can do it our own. But let me show you just real quickly in Proverbs 2 the effects that wisdom has when it enters into your heart. Verse 10. Solomon says, when wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul. There's the two words again, wisdom and knowledge. When it enters in, when it's pleasant, or when you love it, verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And watch verse 12. Wisdom will be there to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. That's the first effect of wisdom in your heart. It will deliver you from the way of the evil man. And by the way, in my opinion, the evil man is you. The evil man is you in the text. It will deliver you from your own flesh. Watch what the flesh wants to do. To deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things. Our flesh wants to do that. Our flesh wants to speak things that aren't in God's will. Watch verse 13. Deliver you from the man who leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Your flesh wants to leave God's will and go to your will. Your flesh wants to leave the paths of righteousness that the Lord is my shepherd that leads you on and starts walking another way. But you know what wisdom does? Keeps you from going that way. Listen, most of us have been in church long enough to see this. You know people that were always here. You know people that were always serving. You know people that were always doing something for God, and yet now, ain't nowhere to be found. It's not that they're not just in this church, they're not in any church. They stopped going. They stopped serving. They stopped walking with God. Why? Because at some point in their life, wisdom stopped entering into their heart. And they left the paths of righteousness to go their own path. Now listen, Wisdom does not mean you'll never stray away from the path. Because the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. You know what wisdom does? You may go off the path, but wisdom always brings you back. And let me just be personal with you this morning. When I was 16, 17, 18 years old, Justin left the path of uprightness. Justin went to live the way he wanted to live. I stopped having wisdom entering into my heart. But Brother Jerry, I can look back to the one moment that changed me. I was a freshman in college at Erskine. Man, for 4 or 5 years, I was gone. Wasn't in church. Didn't want to be in church. But finally, I was like, you know, I'm so sick of living in sin. It used to be fun and ain't fun no more. And I got sick of it. And finally, I walked into my dorm room and sitting on my nightstand there was a Bible. I don't know who put it there. Something on the inside of me said, go ahead. Get in it. And Brother Jerry, that night before I went to bed, I opened up the Bible. And that's the one moment that changed me forever. Now listen, that next day, I wasn't no different. That next week, my life wasn't a complete 180. But I can tell you what started happening. Wisdom started entering in. And what wisdom started doing is telling me, get back. Get back. Get back. And the reason I went away, is because I wasn't receiving no wisdom. But that very moment, Brother Danny, and my roommate can testify to that, he probably looked at me like I was so weird that I was reading the Bible. But that very moment was when wisdom started entering in, and I look back at that 8 years ago. Was when God started to work again. And got us back to the paths of righteousness. Listen, and that don't mean I hadn't went off since then. But as we said, you know what wisdom does? It always gets you back. A righteous man, what, falls 7 times and gets back up again? We may fall 7 times, but wisdom gets us back up. When wisdom enters into your heart, he says, that's what happens. It delivers you from that man who I believe is yourself, who wants to leave those paths, who rejoices in sin, whose ways are crooked. And then verse 16 says it delivers you from the strange woman, and it goes on through that as well. But verse 20 says, wisdom enters into your heart so that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. That word means mature, not perfect. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. It says, when wisdom enters into your heart, you go into the promised land. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the life that God blesses. And it's fruitful. He says, when this wisdom is coming in, you're walking in it, you'll be in that place. How many of you want to live a life that God blesses? He says, that's what happens. When wisdom enters in, you apply that wisdom. But not only will you enter the promised land, it says it'll keep you there. Israel didn't stay very long. They went to Canaan, but they wasn't there long because they stopped walking in wisdom. They stopped living the way God wanted them to live according to His Word. See, what God wants to do is take us into that life, but keep us in that life. Doesn't mean you won't be stressed. God knows we're all stressed. Doesn't mean you won't be fearful, fretful, scared, worried, anxious. It'll just mean you're in God's will for your life. And that's what you need to ask yourself this morning. Are you in God's will for your life? Are you the place God wants you to be? Are you living the way God wants you to live? You say, I'm not. Well, here's how you get started. Let wisdom start entering back in. I can't tell you the way back, but He can. Musicians, you can come. I'm done. If you could all stand to your feet this morning for our invitation. Heavenly Father, we come this morning. We do thank You so much for the wisdom of the Word of God. Thank You that You've freely given it to us because of the men and women who laid down their lives so that all throughout the ages we could have this book. Lord, help us to not take this book for granted. Often we go home and we leave it somewhere and we never touch it. Lord, Your Word is a treasure. Your Word is more precious than silver or gold. And I pray that You'd help us to seek it and search for it as for hidden treasure. Seek Your knowledge, to seek Your wisdom in it. And Father, I just pray for every single person that's in this congregation right now, that You would fill them with the knowledge of Your will for their lives in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In Jesus' name. Amen.